All right. Psalm 78. We're going to start with verse 5. Psalm 78, verse 5. Okay. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children who should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to this one right here. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turning back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his laws. And they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime he also led them with a cloud, and at night with the light of fire. He broke the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the greatest of depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused the water to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spoke against God. They said, and listen to it, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, verse 19, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, table there is talking about a spread, a meal. All right? Now, the context of this, the Israelites were in the midst of trying circumstances, having been in the wilderness for a lengthy time and so forth and so on. And so then it talks about how God had moved in past times to get them out of Egypt there. And they still had this question in their mind, even though they had been delivered. The language in this context indicates that the people were not just merely questioning God, but that they were complaining and murmuring against God. And the question that many people have today, maybe some of you, can not God furnish a table in my wilderness? Yes. Hello? Yes. You know, today, what wilderness are you in? The wilderness of sin, the wilderness of sickness, poverty, the wilderness of bondage, the wilderness of a bad relation, what kind of wilderness are you in? You know, we all get in wildernesses, okay? And in the midst of our wilderness, sometimes we feel trapped. We feel like there's no way out. Now, I trust I'm not the only one that's been there. Anybody besides me ever been in that situation? Yeah. You know, you've encountered one obstacle after another, and you turn around. Every time you turn around, there's something else slapping you in the face. And until you become weary and worn out, and that's exactly what the enemy's trying to do, because he's wanting you to do the same thing the children of Israel did. He's wanting you to start to question if he can do it or not. Okay? You know, the question comes, can God furnish a table in my wilderness? Or, let's put it like this. This would be more in our language. Can God bring me what I need where I'm at? That would be more us. Can God bring me what I need where I'm at? Now, the solution for the Israelites and for anyone today that is found in verse number 7 of this 78th Psalm. That they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So let's spend a few minutes here. There, and go back into that verse 7, and if you can't, underline it. That it set their hope in God. Hope is an anchor. Hebrews 6:19 says it is. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You know, if we didn't have hope, we would never get faith. Because hope brings us to a place where we can believe. You know, we have, some people don't want to talk about hope, but if you didn't have hope, you'd never go to get an answer. Hello? You know, hope is a confident expectation that God will do it. You know, many people get sort of turned off because their answer doesn't come immediately. But if you will stay with God, he always pays. He is never to blame for your hardships and difficulties. There are some times that we need to just, as we say sometimes, bite the bullet and realize that we're in a tough situation or a hardship because we made a stupid decision, and God or the devil, either one, didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, now, people don't like to hear that because they don't. But, yeah, they don't want the responsibility. But how many of you, be honest with me, how many of you have got yourself in a difficult situation or a hardship, and it wasn't God's fault or the devil's fault? It was your own fault for making a stupid decision. I think we could all do that. You know, that's one reason I'm teaching so much. In fact, we'll continue Sunday on listen to your heart, because you got to learn how to listen to the Spirit on the inside. Then you won't ask, can God bring me what I need where I'm at? But God, see, you got to remember, God always pays. Now, his payday is not on a certain day. How many of you work at a job and you can expect on a certain day that you're going to get a paycheck? Sometimes it's every 2 weeks. Sometimes it's the 1st and 15th. If you're like me, it's the last of the month. I don't know why. I guess I've always done it that way. I guess it started back because when I was in the Army, now the Air Force and them guys, they got paid twice a month. But the Army guys, we only got paid at the end of the month. How many Army guys know why? You know, I don't know what they do now, but that's what we used to do. They may have changed by now, but that's the way it was when I was in, you know. You got paid at the end of the month. But God always pays. Now, his paydays may not be when you expect it or want it. But if you will stay and set your hope in him, then he will meet you. Yes. Having hope, our hope set on God produces an ability to see what God wants to furnish us, what he wants to give us. So, number one, if we want to get out of this situation of questioning God, can God bring me what I need? Then we got to set our hope on him. Okay? Now, secondly, forget not the works of God. You know, verses 12 through 16 tell of all the marvelous things. See, they started out to establish this testimony in Jacob, or that's the father of the Israelites, and appoint a law in Israel which command our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generations might come to know, okay? And declare to them that they do all this. See, they do verses here, these verses down here, so that they'll set their hope on God and forget not the works. Now, I want you to notice, it begins to talk about marvelous things did he in the sight of the fathers in the land of Egypt and Zoan. He divided the sea. He caused them to pass through. He made waters to stand in heaps. In daytime, he led them and so forth. They're telling this other generation what God has done. How that he got the water out of the rock and so forth and so on. So what we need to understand is that we need not to forget what God has done for us. Now, we don't want to dwell, you don't dwell in the past, but we need to remind ourselves of things, because reminding ourselves helps us to realize what God has done and what he will do. Now, in Psalms 103, 2 through 5, David, he says, he reminds himself of the benefits. He says, forget not. He reminded himself. He reminded himself that he forgiven their sin and his sins. He said, forget not all his benefits. And then he goes on. He heals our diseases. He's reminding himself, see? He redeems our life from destruction. He's reminding we have protection. You know, he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things. This is David reminding himself of what God has done. See, this is what's happening here. He is forgetting not what God has done for him. Because, see, and you knew, he says, our youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, if you go back and remember what God has done for you, it helps you to realize what God will do for you. You know, singers and band used to sing a song, he'll do it again. How many of you remember that? He'll do it again. You know, you may be down and weak, but he'll do it again. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Turn to your neighbor and say, if he did it once, he'll do it again. That means if he delivered you once, he'll deliver you again. If he healed you once, he'll heal you again. If he protected you once, he'll protect you again. Hello. See, this helps us to realize then that God can bring us what we need wherever we are, in whatever situation we're in. You see, sometimes it helps to go back and remember. You know, one of the things that you do in marriage counseling, if you're counseling a couple and so forth, one of the things you talk them, you have to get them back. You take them back to whenever they first started going with one another. They remember. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, especially any of these guys that are ministers in here, or if you've ever been there. What are they? Go back and remember, because it rekindles remembrance. Hey, sometimes you just need to remember your salvation experience. Sometimes you need to remember your healing. You know, savor the memory of how God met your need when you didn't have nothing. You know, I preach it and I talk about it all the time. But, you know, I go back sometimes and just sitting. I mean, today I did it. Sitting in my office at home as I was getting ready. Then I started remembering that old Oak Ranch youth camp. That movie that I saw, Beyond the Bells. When I was, about 17, maybe 16 before I turned 17. May have been in the summer when I was 16 before I turned 17 in September. And how that movie began to spell. I've been in church all my life. You know, when I was about 11, I felt like the Lord wanted me to go into ministry, but I'd run from that because I didn't want nothing to do with the ministry. I grew up in it. I didn't want it. So, but that night, that film got a hold of me, of this Four Square missionary. Spent 7 years in Bolivia ministering to this Indian tribe before he ever had one convert. And as the movie went in, you know, and I still remember today, I told all the kids there, they were all going down to the snack bar and stuff. I said, no, I'm going in there. I'm going in the prayer room. So they had two rooms, one on this side, one on the other, one for the girls, one for the guys. And they had just had some beds there that you could just kneel and pray at with, you know. And I knelt down there and I began to pray. And that's when I knew that I was going into ministry. But it helps to remember those things. It helps to remember what God has done for you, where you come from, you know. I mean, you know, recall the times when God has delivered you. You know, recall how God delivered you out of bondage. Some of you out of drugs. Some of you out of even from prison and all kinds of things that God. It helps to go back and remember those things because it stirs it up in you again. You know, some of you have been here at Rhema a long time. You don't need to go back and remember why you come here in the first place and get back involved. Come on now. Some people have sat out on the sidelines, you know. But, hey, go back and remember these things. It'll refire you. You know, remembering what God has done for you will produce a strength to continue when you don't feel like it, when it don't look like it's any use. But you see, remember this, it helps you to realize, yep, God can bring what I need, where I'm at, anytime, any place, anywhere. Hello. And then that last part, but keep his commandments. Oh, now, this is one you probably won't get excited about. Here, today, we would say it, be a doer of the word. It is the doer of the word that gets the table spread. You know, you'd be out working all day and you come in from, you know, picking some cotton or picking up hay bales. I didn't pick much cotton, but I picked up some hay bales and walking along there. Some of y'all guys don't know what I'm talking about, but you grab them bales and it starts. The guy on top, a guy up there on the trailer stacking, he got the easiest job. But they start getting up there, and then you got to lift them, and then you got to get your knee in throw the thing up like that and it breaks right in the middle. And it's about 100 and something degrees and that straw get all over you. Ain't no way to get it off of you but go jump in the stock pond. Yep. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody done that but me? Oh, yeah. You know, it's just, you just got to, but hey, you got to just keep on working anyway. Go back and pick up another bale and throw it on there. Because you got to keep doing it. Especially if you don't get paid. You know, kids nowadays gripe, you know, I'm not making enough money. Hey, won't you go back when I was there? Everybody talking about hourly wage. Make a dollar an hour. Work your tail off and you make a dollar an hour. You know. So I said, oh, yeah, but everything is cheaper. No, everything is relevant. Everything is relevant. You know, I've had pastors say, oh, man, if I could just get more people in the church and get my revenue up to here. And I told him, I said, wouldn't be any different because it's the same. I said, the more people you got, then the more you got to spend out over here. I said, it's all relevant. Hello. It's a doer of the word that's blessed. James 1:25. We're talking about, and it said, keep his commandments or be a doer of the word. All right? From 78:7 there, Psalms. All right. James 1:25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, there it comes back again. It comes back, not forgetting what he's heard, doing it, and then blessing. And, you know, John 13:34-35 says, I better let y'all catch up. I got too far ahead of you. All right. We ready? A new commandment I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, this is a commandment, the commandment of love. Walking in love is probably one of the hardest commandments to keep. Because we have to let people get away with stuff. And when we normally would want to say, bless God, I'm not going to let them get away with that. Hello. Don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like you don't know nothing. You know. But keeping the commandments of God, see, doing the word produces a stability in us that is necessary for God to furnish us that table in the middle of our wilderness. You know, he wants to provide a table for us. Well, if you want to get your table provided, then you got to, what we got to do? What do we got to do? Number one, what? Set your hope on in God. Number two, forget not his what he's done for you or his works. Number three, keep his commandments or be a doer. And whenever we do that, then there'll be a table of blessing. There'll be a table of victory. There'll be the table of healing is there. The table of freedom and liberty is there. The table of protection and safety. The table of favor and grace. God provides a table in your wilderness. You know, I was looking at that and thinking about that, and I was thinking about my grandma's table that she would put together. I'll tell you what, man, you did all you had to do. You come in, you're hungry, you've been working, you're hungry, and just get that bowl of mashed potatoes and take out all you want, whatever, get that fried chicken, you know, or a big old piece of ham, especially one of the big old biscuits that she made, you know. Her table always had something you could eat on it. And I like to say, hey, let's just, we may be in the middle of the wilderness, but pull up to the table. Look over there. There's a bowl of healing. There's the bowl of protection. There's the bowl of prosperity. Can reach in there and get you some of it. Oh, well, they've almost, I better not take too much because there's more people. No, hey, like Grandma said, go ahead, take all you want. There's more in the kitchen. God telling you guys, take all you want. There's more. Where did that come from? Anybody getting a picture right now? Hallelujah. Can God? Yes, God can. He can bring what I need where I'm at in any situation. Let's stand up and praise God for it right now. Father, I thank you that you can bring to us whatever we need, wherever we're at. In whatever situation you can provide for us, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, glory to God. Did anybody get excited? Patrick, can you sing any of that? He'll do it again. You ought to be able to. You did it enough.
He'll do it again, friend. He'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are right now and where you have been. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then.
Singing those words, just whoa. Anybody know why? Anybody get that? All of a sudden, glory to God. No matter what's going on, he'll do it here. He'll do it again. Hallelujah. Just look at where you are now, where you've come from. He brought you this far. He'll take you the rest of the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Well, praise God, praise God. I trust you got something out of that tonight. If you happen to be here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, we want you to know him before you leave here. Or if you need to rededicate your life to God, or if you go to church and don't know whether you've accepted Christ or not, the ladies over here and the men here, as we're dismissed, come down here and they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for anything, the Holy Spirit, healing, anything you need prayer for, if you'll come to the front, they'll minister to you. Praise the Lord. Connection team, do we have any first-time guests that you need to go get tonight? All right, go get them and take them. Hey, first-time guests, we're so glad you're with us. If you're looking for a church home, what we tell them, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. Amen. If you're just visiting with us from somewhere else, then make us your home away from home every time you're in our area. We're so glad to have you with us. Amen. Hey, don't forget all the announcements and everything that's going on. Read that bulletin. There's a whole lot of stuff going on around. There's always something going on around here. There's always some kind of activity going on that you can get involved in. So read the bulletin and get involved. Hey, Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. Come believe and come expect it. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and you're dismissed. God bless.